temptations. We need to understand temptations. It's one of the foundational principal things when it comes to being a Christian, understanding temptations. Now, the word temptations is used interchangeably with the word testings or trials. James uses the word temptation, and sometimes he is actually referring to us being tested as Christians or being tried as Christians. You know, a few years ago, I went through the reasons for testings, why God tests us. And we gleaned the scriptures. We examined probably 20 or 25 verses of scripture and came up with 8 reasons why God puts us through the test. One of the reasons we concluded is that we need to be made humble. We need to be made humble. And when we are made humble, we realize that we are weak. And understanding that we are weak, we rely on and trust in God more. We also learned that one of the reasons, that was on a Sunday night, it was just a few years ago. There was only a handful of you here, so I'm just going to go over these hurriedly. I don't even think the message was taped. But not only do we understand our weakness and we come to a realization that we need to walk humbly before God, but it also, trials and tribulations, they wean us away from the world. And folks, we need to be weaned off the world. Trials and troubles and tribulations and temptations do that. It also, one of the positive things about trials, it causes us to realize our eternal hope. We start focusing on spiritual things, divine things, eternal things. We fix our eyes on heaven when we're in trouble. The Christian does that. He sets his affections on things above when he's in trouble, when he's going through trials and temptations. Also, these testings from God, they cause us to see, they cause us to realize what we really love. What we truly love and what we truly value is revealed through the test. Through trials and temptations, we have revealed to ourselves what we love and what we value. Also, when we go through trials and tribulations, we are taught how to deal with that. And when, in learning how to deal with that, we can help others when they go through that. So one of the reasons is to help others. And of course, the 8th reason is trials and troubles and temptations prepare us to be used in the future. God has to put us through the test in order to use us in future things. And so that was just some of the things that we learned. This morning I want to speak to you about understanding temptations. And this is going to be an introduction message. It's going to be a kind of temptations 101 kind of message. We're not going to get into anything real deep. We're just going to examine the first 4 verses of James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now I'm going to stop there and just point out that this greeting, he refers to the 12 tribes, he refers to Israel and Judah, but he's talking to us. Everybody, listen, everybody knows that the book of James was written to the Christian. Now, don't get confused because he's referencing Israel. I wasn't able to be here Wednesday night because my mother fell, but I was going to address the relationship between the church and Israel. Most people have either one of 3 views about the relationship between the church and Israel. Some have what they call the replacement theology. It's kind of the covenant theology, Methodists, Catholic, a lot of them have that understanding or that doctrine of replacement theology, that the church replaced Israel. There's a second view that I was going to deal with, and I may deal with it, I probably will. I've got already slides for it, so I'm going to, a PowerPoint presentation regarding these 3 theological positions, and so I'll be dealing with that a little bit Wednesday night. But there's a second theory or view or theology, and it's called separate theology. That the church is separate from Israel. That it was a separate entity that was established. The Jews failed to embrace their Messiah, and so God kind of kicked in plan B, and he created the church. And it is completely separate from Israel, and always will be separate from Israel, and presently just occupies kind of a temporary period till Israel comes around and does what they're supposed to do. There's a third position that is called remnant theology. Remnant theology. Remnant theology teaches that the church is grafted in to the olive tree. Okay? Like it is taught in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans. Now, one of these three views most people hold, and what view you hold determines how you understand prophecy of the Old Testament. It determines your interpretation of Israel, your interpretation of like Isaiah and the book of Revelation. So understanding these three positions is very important. Now, those that come along and are separatists, they say that the 12 tribes being referred to in the first chapter, that we need to spiritualize it. It's funny that they always say, well, we need to be literal, and then they turn around and spiritualize things when it's convenient for them. They say, well, he couldn't have been talking to the church because he's talking to Israel. Now, I really believe they're one and the same. That the church is a continuation of Israel. And we've been learning that in the book of Isaiah. And we'll get in a little more depth on Wednesday night when we study that. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. The first point I want to bring to your attention is that temptations are going to happen. It's a fact. It's a fact that we are going to experience temptation. Notice in this reading lesson, it didn't say if you're tempted. It says when. All of us are going to experience temptations. God is speaking to His people. He's speaking to His church. He's speaking to the Christian, and He tells us we're going to experience trials, difficulties, temptations. Oh, let's just boil it down to what it really is. We're all going to experience trouble. Trouble. I mean, whether you're saved or you're lost, you're going to experience trouble. We're living in a fallen world, a sin-cursed world. And in this sin-cursed world, humanity is constantly experiencing trouble. Trouble is what we go through. Now, sometimes people get to preaching and teaching that Christians are immune from trouble. It's not true. I don't know what Bible they're reading. I don't know what theologian they're reading after. But Christians are not exempt, and they're not immune from trouble. It's unavoidable. It's universal. It's inevitable that you're going to experience temptation. You're going to experience testing. You're going to experience a trial. You're going to go through a period of trouble. It's inevitable. Jesus said in the 16th chapter of St. John, and in verse 33, He said, in this world you will have what? Trouble. You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer, He said, I've overcome the world. All right, so it's a fact. You're going to experience trouble. Now, let's think about just for a few moments what He says about the various forms of this trouble. There are various forms of temptation. Notice what He says in our reading lesson. He says, this trouble is going to come in divers ways, divers temptations. Notice that in verse 2. When you fall into divers, and divers here is not like diving into the sea, it means diverse. Many different kinds, a variety of different kinds, sundry, as used in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. A whole host, a whole variety of different ways that we go through different forms of temptation. In Deuteronomy 13 and 3, if you'll turn to that verse just hurriedly. Deuteronomy 13 and 3. There God said that He would allow lies and misinformation to come into Israel that it might test them. Lies and misinformation, false prophets would exist to find out if you love God. Because they will offer an easier solution. They will tempt you to bypass what the Word of God says. And so he told Israel, he said these false teachers and these false prophets, and folks, they're out there today. They're tempting God's people. They're offering an easier course than what the Bible teaches. They're offering something that's unscriptural and unspiritual. And we like to be carnal. Amen. Come on now. Well, we'd rather be carnal than spiritual. It's harder to live the Spirit-filled life than it is a carnal-filled life. Harder to be spiritual. Easier to be carnal. Amen? And so they're out there and they're tempting us. They're tempting churches not to be sound in doctrine. They're tempting churches not to hold on to what is true. They're tempting churches not to be faithful to thus saith the Lord. And then God said, I'm going to let them out. I'm going to allow that. I'm going to let them out there to do that. And He says, I do that in order to prove, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. They're just different forms, different kinds, a variety of different kinds of ways that we are tempted, that we are tried, and that we are tested. God tested Israel with misinformation to see whether or not they would stay true to the Word of God. We've got that going on today. Let me show you another variety of different ways that we are tempted. I look in 2 Chronicles 32 and 31. 2 Chronicles 32 and 31. This is a good verse. There is given the summation of Hezekiah's life in 2 Chronicles 32 and 31. And it says this about Hezekiah. Notice what it says. Listen carefully. It says, God left him. Everybody say, left him. What? Are you telling me that God left one of His children? Have you ever read the book of Job? Job felt like that God had left him. He's like, I can't feel God. I can't sense God in my life. Have you ever been there and been tested that way? Where is God? Job went through that. Hezekiah experienced this. God left him. Now, of course, God was still in the shadows, okay? God hadn't, departed from him where he was lost or condemned or anything like that. He didn't lose his salvation, okay? But God withdrew himself. Some of the blessings, some of the favor, some of the direction, some of the wisdom, some of the guidance that he had been giving Hezekiah, that he might find out something, that Hezekiah might find out something about himself. God left him to test him that he might know what is really in his heart. God left him to test him that Hezekiah might know what is really in his heart. So there are a variety of different ways that God tests us. There are a variety of different temptations and trials that we go through. Now, all of them, in my estimation, fall into two categories. The first category is the category of testing our faith, just like I read in your hearing from Chronicles, the testing of our faith. God does that. God tests our faith. He tries us. And the Bible talks about being tested and being tried. Abraham was tested when he went up on Mount Moriah to offer up Isaac, his only son, right? God tested him. God will test you. Test your endurance. Test the strength of your faith. God does that. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, it talks about, beloved, think it not strange concerning fiery trials. Everybody say fiery trials. Fiery trials that we go through. Now look, I've preached on this stuff in the past, and I'm going to keep preaching about it because we need to maintain an understanding of what tribulations and trials and testings that we go through mean, what they mean in our lives. Fiery trials, and you'll have a different fiery trial tomorrow than what you had yesterday. And he goes on and says, you know, you go through these fiery trials in 1 Peter 4 and 12. I mean, these fiery trials. But we're going to go through fiery trials. And he goes on and says, at the end of them, he says, you look back and you think, something really strange has just happened to me. I'm not sure what this means, but this was intense. Intense. Fiery trials. They're coming, folks. It's a fact. It's coming to all of us. And they're coming with great intensity upon our lives. We need to be ready for the fiery trials because God brings them to us and God tests us to see if we will stand. Everybody say stand. So that's one form in which they come. They come from God to test our faith. And God tests us to see if we stand. There's a second way they come. They come from who? Not from God, but from who? From Satan, right? From the devil. They're a little different. Satan doesn't test our faith. He tries to seduce us to what? Sin, right? Satan tempts us to sin. He tries to get us to fall. God gets us, he tests us to stand, and Satan tempts us to fall. And the Bible says that these temptations to sin, they do not come from God. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 13. The Bible says God does not tempt us to sin. They do not come from God. They come from the devil. When you're being tempted, when you're being solicited to commit some transgression, it's from the devil. It is not from God. But though God doesn't send them, He can sure use them. Amen? I mean, God can use these trials. He can use these temptations. He can use the solicitation to sin. And He can work in our lives to help sanctify us. And He does. He certainly does. And I'm convinced He allows them. Have you read the book of Job? He allows the devil to tempt us in that way. He sure does. And so, though one of them is not from God, He uses both of them for His own purpose, for His own glory. See, God intends for you to mature. Satan intends for you to have misery. Sin causes misery, but the trying of our faith should cause us to mature, to grow. Now, James uses the word temptation interchangeably in this reading. And he means both kinds. The ones that come from God and the ones that come from the devil. All right? And God allows both. Okay? And He uses both. So we've got the fact that we're going to be tempted. Amen? We've got the forms of which they come. They come to test our faith. They come to tempt us to sin. One comes from God, the other comes from the devil. The third thing is the force. Notice verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall. Everybody say fall. This is the same Greek word concerning the man that was on his way from Samaria to Jerusalem and he fell among the thieves. Okay? Same word. That means they're going to happen suddenly. Suddenly. Abruptly. I mean, they just suddenly come. You never know when they're going to come, right? I mean, everything may be fine right now, but 15 minutes from now, they may be not fine. I mean, right now you might say my blood pressure's down and my bank account's up, but I mean, you might get that call. Just suddenly it happens. And you're in a trial. You're in some kind of trouble. You're in a testing. And they can be very severe. Amen? Not only are they sudden, but they are severe. So the force of them is that they come upon us suddenly. Now we need to be ready for the next trial. I've often said that you're either going into a tribulation or you're coming out of a tribulation. You're either going into a trial or you're coming out of a trial. You're either going into a temptation or you're coming out of a temptation. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for that? Are you doing everything you need to do to be ready for that? Folks, it's a fact. It's coming into your life, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. It is a fact that they come suddenly upon us in all these different forms, whether you're tested of God or you're tempted of the devil, and you need to be ready. You need to be ready. Now, I know there's folks saying, well, I'm saved, so I'm safe. You know, there are people that are saying, you know, the devil can't get me. Well, he can't possess you, but he can get you. Right? He sure can. And, you know, but being converted or consecrated to God does not remove these troubles from our lives. Doesn't remove them. And so, it's a fact. They come in all these different forms. There's a variety of different ways they come, but primarily one comes from God and one comes from the devil. And they cause us to either be strong or they cause us to stumble. They either develop in maturity or they cause great misery. And they come in great force. They come suddenly. Suddenly. You just fall into one of these. And we need to know how to face these temptations. And James gives us a couple of things regarding them. First of all, notice in verse 3, he says, knowing this. Everybody say, knowing this. Okay, it's a matter of attitude. It's knowing, okay, first of all, that they're coming and being prepared for them and realizing what they are when they come. Knowing this, okay, what are we going to know? Well, if we're going to be tested, put to the test, I had a professor at school that used to say, you know, he'd give us these pop tests, and he said, he wouldn't call them tests, never called them a test. He would always say, we're going to have a learning experience. Learning experience. And folks, listen to me. Listen to me. Every temptation or trial or test, whether it comes from God or from the devil, is a learning experience for a Christian. That's what you need to know. A learning experience. It is not God's will that you be vacant from temptation, but that you be victorious in the temptation. And the first thing is attitude. Everybody say attitude. I may be doing that too much, Angie. I'm sorry. But it's attitude, right? Knowing what it is. Knowing that everybody goes through this. Nobody is exempt from this. That's just really important. All right? Now, let me just qualify and say a couple of things about temptations. First of all, being tempted doesn't mean you have sinned. Jesus was tempted in all points as we, yet without what? Sin. Being tempted doesn't mean you have sinned. Jesus felt what we felt. He experienced what we experienced. He knows what it is to be tempted. Being tempted doesn't mean that you have sinned. Okay? We are all tempted. When I was at Old Union Ministry School one year, several years ago, you were probably there, and Brother Carter preached, or Carver rather, preached from the first chapter of Corinthians about God has chosen the weak things of this world and gave us the Greek on it and said it was moronos, which is our English transliteration of moron. God has chosen the morons of this world to preach the gospel. And then Brother Fries came along and he taught a lesson about being tempted, and they were all a bunch of tempted preachers, and we need to understand temptation, and even preachers are tempted to sin. And somebody asked, I think it was Brother Perigo, somebody, you know, what been going on, or somebody was asked, I can't remember who even said it, but somebody asked what we've been taught that year, and said, well, we're just a bunch of tempted morons. That's what we learned, just a bunch of tempted morons. Preachers are just a bunch of tempted morons. Well, they are. Bunch of tempted morons. But being tempted doesn't mean you have sinned. Okay? And trouble doesn't mean, just because you go through trouble doesn't mean you have sinned. I mean, you can go through trouble or testing, and it's not because of sin. Need to understand that you know a few things about these temptations that come into our life. I don't know how you are, but when something bad happens, don't you go through it? It's called something technical. It's called morbid introspection. That's where you go through some problem and you pick yourself apart and put yourself back together, you know, and test everything. That's kind of what I do with, like, in the mechanical world, you know, if it's something don't work, I take it apart and I check it and put it all back together. Y'all do that? Sometimes we do that to our lives. I just lost my job. I just went through this. I went through that. I mean, there's just a sudden bad thing that's just happened in my life, and we will do this self-analysis and self-examination. But I can prove that it isn't always because of sin. Because Jesus was tested. He was tempted. He was tried. And He was without sin. And there's other proof texts, but I'm just going to move along. The important thing is to know, to face these things with a wholesome attitude. Okay? Our temperament is crucial. It's important. It's imperative that we understand some things about temptations, and our temperament as we go through them is extremely important. We like to make excuses about them. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This might help us a little bit with our attitude. There's three rebuttals in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. He says, there hath no temptation taken you that's not such as common to man. Your temptation is not unique. You know, sometimes we go through stuff and we're like, man, I'm going through something nobody else has gone through. Not the case. That's not a fact. Okay, there's three rebuttals here. You're not going through anything other than what's common to humanity. It's not unique. You're not special. What you're going through is not greater than something anybody else has gone through. This is common to man. So he kind of, you know, he puts this one down hurriedly. Secondly, he says, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. We might say, well, maybe mine's not unique, but mine is stronger and harder than anything that anybody else has ever gone through. Not the case. That's not true. Other people have been tempted the same way that you're being tempted, to the same degree. And God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful. They've gone through the same intensity, or probably even greater than you have. And we don't have time to get into Abraham offering up Isaac, but I tell you, that was a test. Amen? He is the father of our faith, and he held not back the greatest thing he loved, his only son. And I'll tell you this, God may call upon you to give up what you love the most to show that you love him more. Just like he did Father Abraham. God is in control of these temptations. And he is faithful. He will not let you suffer something or be tested in some way that you're not able to endure it. That's what it says. Nothing comes upon you but what God allows. Even if it comes from the devil, God is still managing that and overseeing that. Amen? He's still supervising that thing. In Psalms 103, verse 14, it says, God knows our frame. He knows how much we can handle. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, God knows our breaking point. And he won't put more on us than what we can bear. Should have got amen. He knows your frame. He knows your tolerance levels. And he knows how much you can endure. And God is faithful. He is faithful. We sang that song about God being faithful. And he is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to endure. No one can say, my temptation was too great for me to bear. And also, thirdly, the third rebuttal, we might say, well, I just couldn't escape that. I just could not escape. Okay? Notice this verse. But will with the temptation make a way of what? A way of escape. God always makes a way of escape. Look, if you're dependent on yourself to get through it, no wonder you failed. You need God. Amen? God is there. God has a plan for these things that we face, the temptations of life, the trials and troubles of life. And we don't need to make excuses for our failures. If we fail, we need to just confess that, repent of that. Ask God to help us the next time, that we'd do better next time when we are tested. Now, let me close. We've got to have the right attitude, knowing this. You remember what he begins with in verse 2? He says, he tells us that this is working something out in our life, okay? He says in verse 3, this is worketh. Your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. It's working. It's doing something in us. God is doing something with us. God has a plan for us. He has a purpose for these things. God isn't haphazard in how he deals with you, how he shapes you, how he molds you. God has a purpose. There are fruits that develop from these temptations that we need to be aware of. First of all, he tells us that they're for our enjoyment. Look at verse 2. Count it all. You're saying, what? Are you telling me that when trouble comes, I'm to say, hoop-de-doo, hallelujah? Thank God for this trouble. Huh? Really? Are you telling me I'm supposed to enjoy trouble? Count it all joy. See, it's that attitude, that knowledge that you have, the deep-seated knowledge of your soul that God is on his throne, that he's superintending the affairs of your life, that all the situations and circumstances of your life, that God is managing them and working out his purpose in your life. That all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and them that are called according to his purpose. Amen. Yeah. That knowledge, that deep-seated knowledge, when it comes into your life, you know God is doing some great work in your life. And you need to begin to praise the Lord. Because you know, when trouble comes, God's going to send a blessing. That it won't be in vain. That God will work out some great purpose in your life. He will do that. So we face it with enjoyment. Secondly, he says we ought to do it with patience. The word patience is not the kind of patience you use to thread a needle. It's not the kind of patience that you have that keeps you from getting jittery in a troublesome situation. It means to be, the Greek word is, starts with a T. No, it starts with an H. Hupomon. It means to bear up under something. He wants you to have some endurance, some strength. He wants you to have steadfastness. Thayer's defines it as steadfastness and consistency, endurance. Anybody have any trouble with consistency in your Christian life? Anybody? I mean, do you always pray consistently? Aren't we kind of on again, off again, on again, off again? Sometimes we're good, sometimes we're bad. What about your meditation? What about your devotion? You're spending time with God. Are we sometimes inconsistent? Well, God has a way of straightening that out in your life. And this is it. Trials. Thayer's also says this. It's characterized, let's see, I jotted that down. In the New Testament, the characteristics of a man who has not swerved from the deliberate purposes and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trial and suffering. Unswayed. Consistent. Well, God has a way of getting us, keeping us from being on again, off again. I heard the story one time about a man that inherited a grandfather clock. And it had been at his dad's and his grandfather's, and you know, that thing was sitting in his living room one day, and he said, "You know what? That old weight on that grandfather clock's been on there for a long time, almost 100 years. That old weight, it's got to be heavy. So I'll just take that weight off that grandfather clock." And supposedly the grandfather clock said, "Don't, because that's the only thing keeping me going. The weight. We need the weight. We need the trouble to keep us consistent." Well, God will send you to school, teach you the enjoyments of it. He'll teach you how to be durable and have endurance. And also, He will teach us about how to enlarge ourselves in this thing. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Have its perfect work. You know, the Greek word for perfect isn't sinless. It means maturity. 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 In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, it talks about Jesus, you know, that He was made perfect through suffering. Are you telling me Jesus was made sinless through suffering? No, He was made perfect. Mature. We need to be enlarged. We need to grow in the things of God. And God sends us to the school of hard knocks to learn how to endure through suffering. And we grow and we develop maturity. You know, we grow most rapidly when we work against pressure. And we need to grow. These are just some of the things. This is an introduction to some of the things that this passage teaches. Know that God is doing a great work in your life. Aaron, get a song. Know that He wants to enrich your life. Know that He wants to enlarge your life. Know that God wants to make you a stronger person of faith. He wants to strengthen your faith. Sometimes we want out, but getting out will cause us to go down rather than up. I appreciate your attention. You're going to have them. Be ready for them. It's a fact, okay? They come in two different forms, from God and from the devil. You need to be ready for them, okay? And face them All of us have to face them, right? Children, listen to me. You're going to go through a dark day. You're going to go through a valley. You're going to have some trouble. And if you're saved, you know that God is doing a great work in your life. He's getting you ready for something. He's preparing you for something. God's doing something. You need to be stronger so that He might put more on you and use you in a greater way. And it takes pressure to make you stronger. It takes problems to define you, to reveal your true character, that you might know your own heart. You'll learn those things, and I'll tell you, God never uses anyone that hasn't been tested. Never. You wouldn't either. If you needed brain surgery and you went to the surgeon and you go up to him, you say, "Hey, how many times you done this?" And he said, "I've never done this before." You say, "Well, you know, what school did you go through?" "School? I didn't need no school. Man, I got a pocket knife and a pair of pliers. I can take care of this tumor out of your brain and nothing flat." You know what you would do? That untested, unschooled person, you'd walk away. Wouldn't you? I'd hope you would. Well, you think God is not as smart as us? Really? Oh, He's much smarter than us. He never uses anyone that He hasn't tested. So be ready to be used of God.